The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Well, we are heading into a time of year now when teenagers have a bit more freedom and a bit more free time. The school holidays and the brighter evenings mean that they're off the leash to a certain extent, but the HSE is asking parents this week to keep a closer eye on teenagers and to know the signs if they're drinking alcohol or if they're taking drugs. I'm joined now by consultant child and adolescent psychiatrist with the HSE, Professor Bobby Smith. Bobby, you're very welcome. Thank you for being here. So this is the time of year, is it, where there's a bit more risk around all of this?
Well, I suppose it's the time of year, Claire, when kids are increasingly off school or about to get off school. That gives them a little bit more unstructured time. We as parents are often still working, so there's a bit of a mismatch there between our ability to supervise and the amount of freedom they have. So it's definitely a time to think again about how they're going to best use that time, and you're going to do your best to try and keep track of them, I suppose.
This weather as well, I mean, there is a tendency, I think, to let them have a bit more freedom, and you've got the longer evenings, and if it's sunny and warm, sure, you might as well stay out and away from the house.
Yeah, and there's definitely value to be had in some of that unstructured time out and about with your friends and going and exploring new places. But I suppose it, as parents, maybe our task is to try and be kept in the loop in terms of what the plans are, where people are going. There might be some plans you might decide, actually, I don't quite think that's something you're ready for quite yet. So you might have to say no to some things. But yeah, I suppose ideally, you know, kids learn by doing, I suppose.
So what are the risks then that you're particularly focused on?
Well, I suppose the key focus of the work that related to the work I do and the message today is about, I suppose, alcohol and drugs. And I suppose a substance that we had largely forgotten about is nicotine, and that's sort of reappeared now in the form of vaping. It's not one to ignore. So they're the substances that young people may well encounter when they're out and about. People tend to be introduced to those substances by their friends, people that they like and trust. And it's curiosity that might drive them to a little bit of initial experimentation. So I guess the task for us as parents and adults is to try and ensure when your son or daughter is presented with those choices that they're as well informed as they can be about the risks. And they're also fairly clear, or very clear indeed, about our view as parents that we think any decision to use any of those substances as a teenager is a bad idea.
So what age groups are you thinking about when you're saying that? Is it from the age of 11 or 12 up?
I honestly think, yeah, when it comes to nicotine vaping and so on, there's, you know, end of primary school kids are being exposed to these products. There'll definitely be some kids in the class who are doing a bit of vaping or will have vaped. So it'll be part of their conversation. So I think it's important for us as parents to try and get ahead of these conversations rather than be coming in a year or two after our sons and daughters have heard about them from their mates or social media.
Mm-hmm. Certainly when we think about having a drink, there'll be people listening to this go, Ash, we all did that when we were young teenagers, but we know so much more now about the damage having alcohol at a young age can do.
Yep. I suppose we've had brain scan research now for the last sort of 20 years to make it pretty clear that young people who start drinking at a young age, that's in mid-teens, that leads to some degree of brain change, I suppose. And the worry is that might be a permanent feature. We've known for decades that young people who start drinking in early teens are more at risk of developing alcohol dependence and indeed drug problems as they head into adulthood, that perhaps that might be some of those brain changes caused by the alcohol leave that person vulnerable to developing problems down the line. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I suppose if you're using it as a crutch from the age of 13 or 14, then it becomes familiar to you, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's even beyond the brain bit. I suppose what we're hoping our sons and daughters develop over their adolescent years is the skills to manage, you know, stressful situations. You're having a crappy day, and we all need to learn how to deal with frustration and disappointment, I suppose. We don't want sons and daughters turning to drink as a way of coping with those challenging times. Because, yeah, the worry is if they do, that becomes their coping strategy that they take with them into adulthood.
Okay, so what is your advice for parents then? Because this is really tricky.
Yep. I suppose it's pretty clear that for all substances with under 18s, whether it's nicotine, vapes, whether it's alcohol or indeed drugs, the advice is to be clear that under 18s should not be using any of these substances. And your son or daughter should be clear that's your view on things. And your explanation for that is not that you want to control their life or make their life miserable. It's that you want to keep them healthy. So to be explicit on that, the one of those that perhaps parents struggle with most, perhaps in Ireland, is the idea of drinking and not drinking till 18. We know the average age for starting to drink in Ireland is about sort of 15, 16, but parents should not be facilitating that entry into the world of drinking. Where parents permit drinking, and I know many people listening, they will have already...
happens a lot. Even a listener here says most parents I know give their children a drink from the age of 15. Some think it's okay to give their teenagers 4 or 5 cans because they're going to do it anyway. I'm in the minority by not letting my teenager have alcohol. Now, I think 4 or 5 cans is an awful lot, but you say it is happening.
It is happening, and I would applaud that parent who doesn't give that permission. Does that guarantee her son or daughter won't drink? Of course it doesn't. But what the research tells us very clearly, but Irish research, the winners of the Young Scientist exhibition about 10 years ago confirmed this with Irish research, that where teenagers are given parental permission to drink, they are the ones who give themselves the most permission to drink when they're in settings unsupervised by parents. So they drink in the highest risk manner because they've already been given parental permission to drink, albeit with rules and caveats like you can only have 2 cans. Those rules go out the window once they're out with their mates.
So don't do it. That's the advice.
Don't
give facilitate
permission.
It.
Yeah. And it's a pity that I suppose some parents out there might go, well, I fully trust my son and he's, you know, he makes really wise decisions and therefore I know he's only 16, but I trust him.
Yeah.
But even those parents I would plead with to give the rest of us a break who maybe aren't blessed with such wise, sensible sons and daughters. If the more parents who break rank on this issue, the harder it is for us and our kids to hold a line.
Okay, and the drugs thing then, that is going to involve perhaps older teenagers in general terms?
I suppose cannabis is the first drug that teenagers are likely to be exposed to, but that can happen certainly quite commonly in mid-teens. By 17, 18, I would say most teenagers have been in a situation whereby they've had the option of using cannabis. Lots will have decided not to, but most will have been in a situation where they could have used. So all the more reason then at the age of 14, 15, ideally it needs to be parts of conversations.
I don't know if you can answer this, but what is the difference between the teenager who opts not to use the cannabis and the teenager who goes, yeah, give me that, give it a go?
There's no simple, really simple answer, but obviously the ones who are more inclined to rush in and give it a go are the ones who are a bit more impulsive, a bit more blind to risk, as teenagers tend to be on average relative to us as adults.
Yes.
And that's partly brain development as well. Other teenagers, though, are more instinctively cautious. They're more inclined to just stick with the rules if the rule has been provided.
So that's just a personality thing as opposed to, you know, if somebody feels very safe at home, perhaps they might be more willing to take a risk because they know that they're going back to the safe base.
Potentially, particularly if they know that maybe their parents are sort of, they see their parents as open-minded and tolerant about a little bit of risk-taking based on past experience.
Of course, the opposite can be true as well. You know, if there are no rules at home, well, I can go and do whatever because that's what I'm used to.
Yeah. Certainly, on average, it's kids where they grow up in homes where there's less rules, there's less structure, they're more likely to make the unhealthy choices.
So then what happens if you suspect that your child is drinking or taking drugs? What do you do?
I suppose that's an extra reason to begin having conversations about what's happening out and about. And I think it can maybe be hard to ask a kid, do you take drugs or have you used drugs? But to ask them, do they ever see people who are using drugs? Do any of their mates ever talk about drugs or vapes? To be curious and to try and have conversations and see where that conversation goes. And I suppose to try to stay calm in that conversation, that if they sort of say, oh yeah, if they mention someone who vapes or does something that you're worried about, don't leap in and sort of say, I don't want you ever doing that. To try to have a conversation, to help them think through the pros and cons of that and maybe remind them why you've given past advice that you think this is a bad idea and your hope that they continue to make wise choices.
So resist all of your instincts, which will be probably to wag your finger and say, I'll cut the two legs off you if I see you. You know the way, that's your instinctive reaction.
Yeah. The moment you become, if anger's taken over you, then you've sort of lost the conversation, I suppose.
They're so gone.
Your challenge is to try to be calm. But to be clear, and if things have escalated beyond that, where you know there's definitely problems, you know, I think it is about being really clear about what you're seeing that's causing you to be worried, you know, that you've got to determine if there's further steps needed. And there are some resources out there. Sort of conscious that, you know, there's a whole spectrum of parents maybe listening to us. Some who've got huge live current worries, others haven't got any worries as yet, younger kids. But there are resources out there. There's the drugs.ie website. So drugs.ie/parents. There's a number of webinars there which maybe deal with situations where there's more significant issues and parents could access resources there. Or there's the drug and alcohol helpline as well that can be contacted and people can be signposted towards specific supports if they've got a particular concern.
Okay, another listener spoke to her teenage children about the drugs and the dangers of them, and they both told me that drugs are being sold by students in their school. So that's what we're...
Yeah, I would fully believe that, yeah. You know, and they will know that. And
we're as well to know it though, Bobby, aren't we?
Completely.
To be aware of it.
Yeah, and not be, you know, to be cautious about it and aware of it, and it's a new challenge, or it's a challenge maybe parents have always had, but it's there still, not to panic about it, but to have a plan.
All right, drugs.ie is where you can go for help in the first instance. Professor Bobby Smith, thank you very much for coming in. And thanks as well for your messages. Keep them coming to us on WhatsApp 087 1400 106.
The Clare Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.